are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Welcome in, everyone. Yes, I am Dr. Edvige, and you are listening to Affirmations for Living, where we have upbeat discussions with some of the world's most spiritually enlightened people. And I love the idea that we look deeper into principles that can truly change your life. And we offer the tools that will support the manifestation of your dreams and your desires. Today's show is really special. It's on astrology, sacred geometry, and something that my guest calls spirit touch. Now, the most that we know about astrology or horoscope has been what we read in the newspapers or get delivered to our emails. But how accurate, really, is that information? But did you know, in truth, that astrology can be traced back to beyond the first century BC, with two varieties of astrology in existence? One that required the reading of a horoscope in order to establish precise details about the past, present, and future, and the other being this theurgic, and literally that means God work, which emphasized the soul's ascent to the stars. While they were not mutually exclusive, the former sought information about the life, while the latter was concerned with personal transformation, where astrology served as a form of dialogue with the divine. So I really wasn't aware of that. My guest today is Dean Price, and he spent over four decades studying and practicing astrology, sacred geometry, spirit communication, and hands-on healing. He discovered that the planets correspond holographically to the human chakras in the same physical order and with the same meaning. Now, from this knowledge, he created spirit touch, and to understand and clear each person's unique astrological patterns and reprogram them for abundance, success, and love. And so join with me as we go over this today. Hello, Dean. Welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Excited to have you on today, really discussing this, because so many people have the misconception of what astrology is. And so I'm glad you're here today to clarify some things for us. Before we get into all of that, for me, I always want to know the person's history. So how did you expand? What did your spiritual process of awakening look like?
Okay. Well, as you said, the main thing that I've been doing most of my life with my spiritual path has been astrology, but there have been a lot of other things. But what got me interested in it was my early education. I really excelled at mathematics and geometry, and in college I studied some additional math, but also psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And when I graduated, I really didn't have much of an idea what I wanted to do with my education. So I went on a journey. In fact, the day of my graduation, I put on a backpack with a friend of mine, another Gemini. I'm a Gemini, he's a Gemini. So a couple of twins went heading down the road, hitchhiking from Southern California up towards Oregon. That was our goal. It took us 3 months to get there, but we had an amazing journey where lots of surprises and things happened to us. So it became like a spiritual quest. One of the things that happened when I made it into Northern California was I visited an old friend who was living with an astrologer. And I had spent my whole life with kind of a scientific perspective and didn't believe in any of that kind of stuff. But he did a reading for me and kind of blew my mind with how insightful it was, how accurate. And so I became obsessed with it, and for the rest of that journey and for the next several years, I paid really close attention to what was going on in the stars and how that was reflected in my experiences.
Wow, quite interesting.
And that's how I learned it.
So how recent is this spirit touch that you've created?
Well, it's the first part of the story that I just relayed was 40 years ago.
Wow, okay.
That was 1974 when I began to study it. And I also, along the way, started studying body work. I studied massage, but particularly I studied polarity therapy, which is hands-on healing and a form of energy work. And as I was doing that, having already studied astrology, it became obvious to me, and this was about 20, 25 years ago, that the planets were the chakras in the exact same order in our body, that we were a perfect holographic miniature of the cosmos, and that everything around us was a mirror of what was going on inside of us. And astrology was kind of a language for understanding it.
Now, that's really fascinating, quite fascinating. And so there's so many questions popping up in my head now because, you know, we understand this idea of sacred geometry and how we are sacred geometry. How do I want to word this? And so just the mere fact that our birth date, all of those particulars about us, it's written in the stars, all the experiences that we may or may not have, all of these things are written in the stars. And is that why we choose a particular day and astrological sign to be born?
Yeah, what the chart seems to be is a kind of a map of your karmic patterns that you've created from before. And the pattern of your life is mirrored in the moment of your birth. And I'm not sure if one's causing the other exactly, but there's a synchronicity about it so that you can look at the chart. And one way to read the chart is a kind of a description of your past lives. But it's also a description of your current life because you're still working on those patterns. And in fact, most people have heard of the Saturn return, which happens the first time when you're 29 and then again when you're 58. And again, when you're 87, and then 116, could happen four times. But the first Saturn cycle, the first 29 years, you are actually recapitulating your past lives. You're kind of on a journey of remembering where you've been so far and bringing back up all of your talents and abilities and also problems and challenges and karma that still remains for you to work on.
Now, you mentioned when we spoke before about this Chiron, small planet.
Chiron.
So tell the audience what that is, or explain that, because that's really fascinating. It cycles, 51 years, is it?
Uh-huh. 51 years it takes to go around. So Chiron is the most recent planet to be discovered. And some people don't even call it a planet. And actually, there's a lot of celestial bodies that are being discovered, but it's the one that sort of got added in 1977, so that now when you get an astrology chart, it will include some of the asteroids as well as Chiron. Chiron is in between the orbits of Saturn and Uranus. And it symbolizes your wounds, your traumas, your suffering, and how you learn to heal them, and in some cases how you then can help others having learned the lesson of Chiron. Chiron, mythologically, was a centaur. He was a friend of Hercules, but he wasn't a regular centaur. A regular centaur would have been half man, perhaps, and half horse. And those were actually very dangerous creatures. It's just a very, very intelligent beast. And they, you know, when the centaurs would roll into town, everybody would lock their doors and hide their women because they'd come in and, you know, ransack the place, steal things, burn
things
down.
Oh, my. Not friendly, in other words.
Chase the women. Centaurs, you know, we see them in cartoons as very friendly creatures. They're not.
They're not.
Just,
okay.
So imagine if your horse had an IQ of 180.
I'd rather not. Okay.
But anyway, Chiron was different. His father was a god, Saturn. And he had the wisdom of the gods combined with the instincts and sensibilities of an animal. And that he used to his advantage and became known as the wounded healer. He would go with Hercules to the battlefield and he would tend to the wounded warriors. There's a whole long story to that. But
quite interesting. So let me ask this. How is your work going to benefit someone? So we know the history of astrology. It dates back, gosh, millennium. What is the purpose of understanding this, and then how does your work benefit someone? So those are two questions, really. What's the benefit of astrology? Is there such a thing as a horoscope, and does any of that really benefit us?
Sure. Now, it all depends on who's doing the interpreting, whether it benefits you or not.
Okay.
A lot of times people, I would say, oversimplify astrology, and maybe they don't know much more than the sun signs, which really they change depending on what country you're born in. I'm a Gemini, being born in the West, but if I was born in India, I'd be a Taurus because they have a different zodiac. If I was born in China, I'd be a dragon, and if I was born in the Yucatan, I'd be a red planetary serpent. So everybody's got a different zodiac. And if that's all that you do, if that's all you know about your astrology chart, really all you know is a kind of set of images that as often as not are used to limit your understanding of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So people might just have a kind of a set of prejudices about a sign, and that having a reading might just reinforce those things. Okay, I'm a Gemini, therefore, what does that mean? I'm
stubborn. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's, to me, not very helpful to just reinforce that.
Correct.
To me, the benefit of it is if you can see what the pattern is, and then you have some kind of a method or technique to help the person clear the pattern or reprogram the pattern.
Okay.
Or delete it. You know,
yeah,
then
exactly.
You have a benefit.
Cancel, clear, delete. So that's then where you come into play. So that's what Spirit Touch solves? Is that what it does?
Yeah. So we can see what the pattern is. Say, for example, you were born on the full moon, for example. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, let's say a person
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sun is opposite to the moon at that time, and there might be a conflict. What Spirit Touch does is it identifies where that pattern is in your body. Because the planets are the chakras, the sun being light is where your third eye is, where you see things, and the moon being nourishment, it corresponds to your belly, it's like your stomach, and that's what you need to survive, it's nourishment. So sun opposite the moon is somebody who's looking for nourishment, like the werewolf on the full moon, hungry and goes out and tries to find someone to eat. That can be a very stressful pattern, always needing something, always having to go shopping, never feeling satisfied with what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, the person may be kind of stuck in a pattern of dissatisfaction. If you use the technique where you use the laying on of hands part, where you put one hand on the sun point, which is the third eye, another hand on the belly, which is the moon, those being opposite, and then you connect them together energetically, and then you can also add some form of spirit communication, requesting things of angels or of the creator, of your higher self, and request a change to the pattern, and or you could use self-hypnosis or affirmation, something like that. So that the benefit is you go beyond just looking at the pattern and what the problem is to combining it with a technique to release and clear the pattern and reprogram it.
So you said there's a laying of hands. Does it matter which hand you... Okay, so say we're doing... Right? So say we're doing the belly and the third eye. Does it matter which hand I put on my forehead or which hand I put on my belly?
Well, some people believe it does, and others believe it doesn't matter. And I believe that we create our own reality, and that if you have created a reality in which it matters...
Then it's going to matter.
That it's going to matter. Now, you could say that the left hand for most people is more receptive, mm-hmm. or yin, and the right hand for most people is more yang, or active. Then you might want to put the receptive hand on the more active point, which in this case would be the sun, or the left hand, the third eye, and the right hand for the belly, which would be putting a positive on a negative and a negative on a positive, so to speak.
Okay. I get that.
So, I'm, though, to be honest, of the opinion that I just follow my intuition or my feeling, and that's what's going to work best.
Absolutely. So I know you had to be excited when you discovered the similarities between the constellations and our chakra system. So what sorts of things have you found that you've addressed in people? Does it deal with every and anything, or is it more in line with people on their spiritual path, or is it just simply any issue that you may have?
Well, I'm not saying it can solve every single problem that anyone could have.
Okay.
But I have used it for all kinds of things. Most people's issues are things like relationships, career, finances, health, pain. And it seems to work a lot of times for any of those things, and sometimes it doesn't. Really well when it does.
So if someone had an issue with their finances, whether it be, would it be a particular chakra that's not in balance that's causing them to have those issues, do you think?
It could very well be. And it's not necessarily always the same chakras for each person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you an example of something that I did on myself. And just to give you the astrology of it, when I was born, the moon was semi-square to Pluto. And a square or a semi-square or an opposition, in fact, any aspect that you get by dividing the circle by an even number, mm-hmm. an opposition is a division by 2, a square is a division by 4, a semi-square is a division by 8. Those tend to become solid or become stuck. And so my semi-square, I chose that as the points to work on when I was having kind of a serious cash flow problem. And so the moon has to do with getting what you need to survive,
mm-hmm.
Getting the nourishment that you need, being able to manifest that. And Pluto, which the moon, by the way, as I said, is the belly. Pluto is the crown chakra. Pluto is known to many people as death, transformation, and rebirth. Well, the crown chakra points up to space or heaven, and that's where you go when you die and maybe where you come back from when you return. So through the crown mm-hmm. chakra, we're dealing with the realm of spirit. But anyway, so I needed some extra money. So I put one hand on my belly, one hand on my crown chakra, and I said something like, source of all creation, please help me to release and clear whatever old issues I have that are preventing me from having the abundance that I would like to have. And then I got very specific. I said, and help me to create a conduit of mana from heaven, bringing me an average of $700 a day this month, and increasing it even more next month. Okay, so mm-hmm. I got really specific. A few days later, I got a phone call. One of my competitors, I produce expos, and another expo producer who actually at one time had been trying to put me out of business, but he called me up and he said, you know, I would like to, you know, do the shows in the Bay Area where you do them, and I would like you to not be doing the show, as you know, but I don't want to be at war with you anymore. So would you be interested in selling them? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I would. And how much would you give me? He said, well, I can give you a down payment this month of $20,000. And I said, okay, sounds good to me. And I signed a contract that he emailed to me, and he put $20,000 in my bank account. And then the next month, he brought me a bunch more money. And if you add the numbers, I had asked for an average of $700 a day. Well, in one of those days, I got $20,000, and all I needed for that month was $21,000 to make $700 a day. So I just had to have another $1,000 a day. I was done.
And everyone listening right now, okay, when this airs, their hand is going on their belly, their other hand's going on their crown. Please.
You can try it.
Please.
You can try it. It might work.
Please.
But, you know, that's my chart. I have Moon, Semi-Square, Pluto. And I'll just tell you what that refers to in my life. When I was 8 years old, I watched my father drop dead. And so that there's an aspect of Pluto, which is death, that created trauma for me, obviously. You know, because when you're eight, I was 8 years old. When you're that age, when something like that happens to you, you wonder, am I going to continue to be able to eat? Will I survive? You know,
exactly.
What's going to happen here?
Yeah.
And so I was actually clearing some of that old trauma, which was specific to me, other people. For example, other people with money, for example, it's really a heart chakra issue, because money is also an aspect of relationship. We give money to other people because of a transaction that we're doing. So it's a part of a relationship. So some people's money issues might be in the heart chakra and be in relation to a Venus aspect.
Wow.
The moon or the belly is more about manifestation,
mm-hmm.
and the heart is really about transaction. It's love and other feelings that we have about each other and the transactions and relationships that we have with them.
Interesting. I know you did my chart a couple of weeks ago, and that was absolutely fascinating, to say the least. There were some really intriguing things discovered for me. Yeah, pretty amazing. So now when you do the spirit touch, but if you're just... How do you know that the connection has been made? Is it just that because you say it, you declare it, it is so, that the connection from chakra to chakra has been made?
Well, I can feel it. Different people respond different ways to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do it the way I do it because I'm an astrologer. I can see the pattern. I know where the chakras are. So I can see... I know exactly where to put my hands by just looking at an astrology chart. You know, but then once I've done that, how do I know that something is happening? In my case, and when I worked with you, it was over the phone, so you didn't see this, but when I have my hands on somebody and they start, the energy starts connecting and clearing and shifting, it's a lot
mm-hmm.
of Shakti that I feel, and I start shaking. I start twitching, and I feel it. I'm, you know, some people are more visual. They might be able to see it clairvoyantly, or they might hear the angels talking to them, say, you're done, go on to the next one. But in my case, I can just feel the energy shifting, mm-hmm. and then at a certain point, I feel it kind of clearing, and it's feeling quiet.
I get it, because that's exactly what happens to me when I do work on people. And that's what happened when I connected the chakras that needed to be connected. I could feel the energy moving through me, and I'm like, whoa, okay. And my body did all sorts of convulsing things, and then it calmed down. I'm like, gotcha, okay, done.
You're just like me in that
sense. Yeah. In that respect, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what – do you have any compelling results that you can share about some of your clients?
Yeah. I've got some kind of interesting stories. Now, when I first started doing this decades ago, I actually got scared of it. And the same thing happened when I first started reading people's charts. Is I got scared because, you know, when I was reading charts for the first time, and then I thought, wow, what if they take my advice and I sort of sent them in the wrong direction. Too much responsibility. So I got scared of that. Well, then when I started doing the spirit touch and putting hands on people and seeing the changes they were going through, that scared me too. And I'll give you an example of
Let me have you hold that thought. Before we do that, we're going to take a break. So give everyone your website and your information or how we can reach you. We're going to take a short pause and come back for the second half. So if you would.
Go to spirittouch.org. You'll be able to see a diagram of the planets as they are on the chakras. That's spirittouch.org. And if you'd like to call me sometime, it's 831-239-6835.
Okay. One moment.
Affirmations for Living is about affirming a positive way of living because it's your birthright to live with passion and purpose and to prosper. You will learn how to connect your higher conscious mind as Reverend Dr. Advij takes you on an inner journey of self-discovery and higher awareness while utilizing a process that releases the negative emotions that have been keeping you bound to a life that is not in alignment with who you truly are as a spiritual being. Imagine that right now in this very moment, you can learn to create limitless opportunities. What do you want? Health, wealth, happiness, to find your soul purpose? We have the tools that will support the manifestation of your dreams and desires. From our affirmations and guided meditations to our webinars and transformational spiritual life coaching, the choice is yours. To learn more, visit us at affirmationsforliving.net. And don't forget to get the smartphone app Awakened today. It's free. Change your thinking. Change your life.
And we are back. You're listening to Affirmations for Living, and my guest today is Dean Price. Dean is, I would say, a master astrologer, as well as a creator of Spirit Touch, which is absolutely fascinating, and I've had the pleasure of experiencing it. So, Dean, welcome back in. Please finish your thoughts.
Okay. So, so this was a very powerful session that I did on a woman 20, 25 years ago. When I was first starting to develop Spirit Touch. And that's when I really noticed how powerful it was, and it scared me. So I looked at her chart, and she had Sun square Mars. And the Sun is the third eye, as I said before. Mars is passion and desire and sex and things like that. And it's the pelvic chakra. Would require then with her was putting one hand on the third eye and one hand around where her ovaries are. So I did that. I did the work. And she did some releasing and clearing. And we didn't know exactly what had happened. And she hadn't told me exactly the problem that she had had. I didn't know what this was going to do because I didn't know she had this problem. But anyway, she called me shortly after, it may have been a day or two later, and she said something amazing had happened, but it had scared her. And what it was she had started bleeding.
Wow.
She thought she was hemorrhaging. And I think she might have even checked herself into a hospital.
Yeah, understandable. Hello.
Scared me. And then we come to find that, and she was a young woman, maybe in her late 30s, early 40s, And she said, well, what it turned out was that I had a period. And she hadn't had a period in a decade.
Wow.
And she had thought that she had, for some weird reason, gone into menopause early in life. But she had, her pelvic chakra was blocked. And so she hadn't had a period for maybe 10 years. And all of a sudden, she starts having periods again. I don't know. You tell me, is that a good thing or not?
Well, okay. I would say not so much. But that's just me.
But I would say it probably is a good thing because it's natural.
It's natural. Exactly. Yeah, you know, there are pros and cons to that one, quite honestly. Huh?
So, but anyway, that was one interesting story. But I actually stopped doing spirit touch for a while.
Oh, yeah. That would scare me. That. Oh, my God, I'm making people bleed. Oh, help me. You said I would be helping.
But some better examples. I've worked on a lot of people. Like one guy came to me, and he hadn't spoken to his dad in a long time. They were kind of had an estranged relationship. And weren't even speaking to each other. And I looked at his chart, found the appropriate points for that, and we released it. And I heard from him a couple days later. He said, wow, all of a sudden I heard from my dad, and we're like best buds again. It just kind of like unfolded effortlessly.
Very cool. So can you check the, even though I'm pretty sure I did it right, can you check? I know for me, one of them was for the writing, and it was my crown and my throat. Do you have a way of checking to make sure the connection was made?
Yeah.
And then the other one was the third eye to my crown. So those two, I really would like to know if the connection has been made.
Those are both what it is astrologically is the throat to the crown is your Mercury is the throat, Mercury is communication, and it is it's 3/8 of the way around the circle. For those who like jargon, that's called the sesquiquadrate. But that's a difficult aspect between Mercury and Pluto. Pluto, in the case of writing, what it means is Pluto is like transforming, death, transformation, and rebirth to your higher self. And it's really spirit. And it's also your immortal self. And Mercury is communication, which means to communicate in a way that is becomes immortal. So, in other words, by writing something like a book or however you write these days, you immortalize your words. And when it's square or semi-square, although it's challenging, it's actually a square or a semi-square means to become solid, to make it into something solid. So it's really a great aspect, but you have to get over all the blocks that are in it. So it's connecting the throat chakra to the crown chakra, and that would have been one of the main ones that would have done, sure. And also the sun is lined up with Mercury. It's a conjunction, and so it's also the third eye to the crown, which is to bring your higher self into consciousness. So it's conscious transformation and conscious writing or, you know, some other form of communication. So
wow.
I'm sure we did work on those.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, we did some work. We had to go, so I was connecting them the following day. So, fascinating.
Did anything change in your life as a result?
Well, no, I don't think so. You know that I was taking that trip Mount Shasta, because that was the shamanic initiation that my chart showed, which, I mean, how profound and how perfect was that? The timing, it's so divine.
Oh, because you're having the Chiron thing.
Yes. Remember, I'm, 52, so I'm in the second Chiron.
Chiron.
Okay. And so, yeah, it was definitely wanting to connect those things. So I want to make sure that they are connected. I had profound experiences in Mount Shasta, but nothing that I'll share on the air. I'll tell you in person.
All right.
Yeah, once the record button's done. So those are, would you find that some of the main obstacles people are having would be manifesting abundance, success, or love?
Yeah, most people are, you know, if they've got those things together, they don't need a session usually. So the ones that I see mostly are having issues with relationships. They would like to find a fulfilling relationship, or they're having a hard time with money, or don't know what to do with their life, or it's manifest, and they're just all stressed out. So, you know, those are kind of the most basic things.
True.
That's what people would like help with.
So, you know, obviously you're in this one state and I'm here in Nevada. When you have a client, do they have to be present, or can you do it like we did over the telephone and have good results?
In the case of if I can't work on them in person, I have them use their own hands, or if there's a friend or partner or somebody that can do the hands-on, it can be done over the phone.
Okay, so let's go over the main components of the Spirit Touch method.
Okay. So we've talked about some of them. The first component is the astrology. I do an astrology chart for the person. I can still do it. I already know what everybody's first question is. Just like when I told you about the hands-on, everybody's first question is, doesn't matter which one.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear that every time.
and I had to ask. Okay.
You had to do it. You had to just be like everybody else.
Thank you.
And then, so what were we talking about?
What are the components of Spirit Touch? So it's first doing their chart, then people want to know, does it matter which hand, and...
Oh, then they want to know, okay, with the chart they want to know, do you have to know the birth time? I always know that's coming too. And, you know, maybe a third of the people or a fourth of the people don't know their time of birth. Well, the thing is, it does matter in that some of the celestial bodies move quite a bit in a day, for example, the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Moves 12 to 15 degrees in a day. So that will change the angle of the moon quite a bit. But the rest of the planets, maybe Mercury might move as much as 3 or 4 degrees in a day, and then every other one is even slower. So I can get pretty much all of it except for maybe the moon, even if we don't have any idea what time the person.
Okay.
So we can still do it. There's just some parts of it that we're not sure of.
Wow.
So anyway, so based on the astrology chart, and we just get the most accurate time we can get, I can see the pattern. I can start talking to the person about what's going on with their relationships or their money or their career or their health, because I can see the pattern, and it's probably a past life thing, or it's probably something that got triggered again or echoed by the time they were 2 years old, and then their identity got formed around it and they got stuck on it. So first we got to look at the pattern and understand it, and so there's a conversation. Then from there we know where to put the hands. So the second component is polarity therapy. I was trained as a polarity therapist 20 or 30 years ago. And then I use that same technique of using two hands, one on one point, one on the other point, but then individually tailoring it to the person's astrology chart, which is not part of regular polarity therapy. Although even regular polarity therapy is based loosely on the generic astrological point. But this takes it to the next level where we base it on the person's own chart.
Mm-hmm.
So that the second component is knowing where to put your hand. And then the third component is spirit communication. And what that refers to in this case is you could just do those first two things and connect the energy together and it would help.
Mm-hmm.
It would help quite a bit and does. In fact, when people do Reiki or polarity therapy or any other kind of laying on of hands, just even if you're totally silent and just do that, it brings the energy together and integrates it. But what we're doing is that we're taking it to another level by requesting assistance from our higher self or Archangel Michael or the Creator or whatever name you give to spirit. And that is very, very helpful because, you know, that can bring a lot more help. I'll give you an example of how that part of it worked for me. About 20 years ago, I was at the age where my father had had a heart attack and died.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to have a heart attack and went out of my body, went to the other side.
Wow.
Had a near-death experience. I went into the void.
Yes. Been there.
You've probably done that too.
Been there in the car accident, yep.
DT, been there, done that. A lot of us healers have had that experience and we seem to gain something from it. But what I gained from that experience was I was actually spasming so hard. It was like my heart was jumping out of my chest. Boom, boom, boom. But it would be jumping out like 3 inches instead of beating. And it was intense. And then I would die, basically, on the other side. But my girlfriend, a Taurus, helping to ground me and kept bringing me back. But this went on for hours. People might think, why didn't you just call the hospital?
Yeah, really.
It's like, what's wrong with you? Well, I had watched my father die and get taken away on a stretcher in an ambulance, go to a hospital and die.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I didn't exactly have a good feeling about that scenario. So, it turned out I was right. Eventually, I asked my girlfriend to bring me my picture of Archangel Michael that I had and all my crystals and sacred objects and kind of put them on me. And all of a sudden, I could see what I was dealing with. And it looked to me like a bat. It was claws and teeth and shrieking sounds. And I hadn't been able to see it until I had all my sacred objects on. And so I realized, oh, I'm being kind of attacked by a demon. I don't even believe in that kind of stuff, but I can see it, so I better do something about it. So I said, well, if I'm just being attacked by a negative spirit, then really what's going to help me is asking for assistance. I'm a positive spirit. So I said something like Archangel Michael, Blue Healing Buddha, Jesus. I just started naming all my friends in high places. And instantly, like the snap of a finger, the spasming stopped. And I zoomed back into my body at 100% all of a sudden.
Wow.
Whereas I'd been maybe 30% in my body before that. And I realized, and I guess you probably know this, and a lot of people know this, is that we have free will, and angels and other deities and spirits must respect our free will, and we have the free will to check out and die at any moment.
And absolutely, yeah.
They can't do that. They can't do anything about that without a request. And so once you've asked for assistance or protection with healing, they're free to provide it for you. So
makes total sense. Yeah.
I'm going to say something a little sexist, but I'm a guy, and
we noticed you have a deeper voice than mine.
there's sort of a tradition among guys to be strong and not need help and not ask for
mm-hmm.
help. And I know a lot of women don't ask for help either. But so I learned my lesson to ask for help. And so this is why I added that component, is sometimes people need stronger medicine than just putting your human hands on. And a lot of times when I work on people, you know, they'll open their eyes and go, well, who are all those angels in the room? Or they'll have their eyes closed and I had my hands on their feet for a while and then I have my hands on their head. And then they'll open their eyes and they'll go, how can you have hands on my feet and my head at the same time? And it's because we're getting help and they can feel it or see it. So anyway, that makes it much more powerful to bring in spirit
assistance. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Really important. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share with the audience that you think is really important? Yeah.
There's one more component to this, which is sacred geometry.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And so I'm going to throw that in here. So the sacred geometry is, first let me give a little background on it. The chakras, in addition to correlating with the planet, are also correlating with numbers and geometry. And each chakra, as you go through them, is adding another one more dimension. So if you start at the top, and you know you have a little halo up there,
mm-hmm.
So that's easy to remember as a zero. And that is the chakra, the crown chakra, is the part that points to space or nothingness. So that is that dimension, the dimension of nothing, of zero. And you go down one, and you've got the eyes, or the third eye, and it's the sun, it's light, and what shows up, how light shows up in your eyes is on the retina. There are these things called rods and cones which record dots of light of different colors and different darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sight is, or light, is ones. It's a bunch of dots. And what you're always looking at, even though it looks like it's solid, is really just a bunch of dots of different colors. Just like if you were looking at a cartoon in the newspaper and you looked at it under a magnifying glass, you'd see a bunch of dots. So we've added a dimension. We've gone from zero to one, and now we have dots. Now you go down one more, and you're at the throat chakra, which is Mercury, and this throat chakra is based on the number two. It's based on two points and energy going back and forth between them, which creates vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have sound. Out of vibration, we've created a mechanism of ears that can pick it up and translate it into what we experience as sound. So that's another dimension. So now we have two-ness, which is sound. And each dimension is denser than the last. And then you go down to the heart chakra, and it's based on the number three, which creates a little triangle there, which is like a window. And all of a sudden you can feel things. And the heart is about feeling things about each other, like love or not so much. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I like you, I don't like you, I love you, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm grieving, and whatever feelings. That's like a window where it's feelings about another person and about relationships. And that's even denser. That's more intense than sound, which is more intense than light. And then let me just go one more. When you add a fourth point, you go down to the belly. That's where the earth is and the moon. Four points creates a solid, creates like a tetrahedron, which now we have matter or form or a body and a world. The earth, which is the point there, and the moon, which is the nourishment that we need to stay alive on the earth in a body. So we've added a dimension where now we have form. So we have nothingness, light, sound, feeling, and form, and we're just starting. We're just getting started because we are multidimensional beings, and all of these dimensions have to work together for us to enjoy our life. So getting to the sacred geometry, I'm going to have to speed up, I know, because I'm probably going to run out of time.
Yeah, we have just about 2 minutes.
Okay, so basically, we now know the geometry of each chakra. Now, most of us are highly developed in the mind, in the visual center, but maybe we're emotionally crippled in the heart chakra or the belly, so that we don't manifest, even though we have these brilliant ideas, if our emotions are more crippled or traumatized, You can only manifest at the level of your emotions. You don't manifest at the level of what you see. You manifest more at the level of how you feel. And so the sacred geometry is used to raise the vibration of the emotional chakras up to where they can match the visual centers. And it's a lot more than I can explain in 1 minute. So I'm going to just leave it at that if anybody's interested in learning more about it. I've been able to manifest amazing things using the technique of visualizing things like a circle, a dot, a cross, and a triangle every day for 5 minutes and bringing my emotional chakras up to the level where the projects that I was working on or the things I was focusing on, for example, I was visualizing those symbols and doing spirit touch on myself with my hands when I brought my girlfriend into my life. She was like the best girlfriend I ever had. So it works.
Name those things again. A dot.
It's a circle and a dot. It looks like if you went to the Target store, a circle with a dot in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Next one's a cross. Next one's a triangle. 5 minutes each. But the thing is, this is so powerful that you should not start it if you're not going to do it every day. And I've learned that the hard way. So if you're interested in this, definitely give me a call. Don't just start doing it.
Absolutely. So once again, before we end this, your website and your number.
SpiritTouch.org is the website. And the phone number is 831-239-6835.
And I believe you're offering for my listeners a complimentary strategy session. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. Anybody who would like to call, I will give you a half-hour session using some of these techniques. And that can be done over the phone or in person if you live. I'm in Los Angeles, by the way. So feel free to call me.
Pretty amazing. And that's a generous offer because a half-hour with you, boy, talk about life-changing. Thank you for that offer. I hope everyone takes you up on it. Alrighty, you have been listening to Affirmations for Living. I want to thank you. Be blessed till next time. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edwige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edwige. Namaste.